Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Jackson stays in the block. Jackson fires, and that will be intercepted in the end zone by Johnson. Karen Johnson. And only Jackson can stop him now. Too late to the end zone. Touchdown.
Well, well, well. 4 years ago today, the iconic Taron Johnson pick six of Lamar Jackson. The last time the Bills were in the AFC Championship game, 2020, and that helps lead them to that AFC Championship game against Kansas City. 17-3 win over Baltimore. I heard Joe DiBiase talking about this play when I was driving in this morning. I could not agree more. As much as, like, in the moment, I was losing my mind. I had my dog in my lap, and I'm, like, trying to, like, stand up and cheer the whole thing.
Well, I ran around outside. I was ecstatic. Oh, yeah.
But watching the highlight back now, it is a little weird because there's no fans. It does not have the same feeling that some of these other highlights have, even though it is one of, personally for me, the best play I've seen live for the Bills in my lifetime. The highlight itself, going back to it, does not have the same feel now.
No, and it is funny, though, like watching the highlight and you know, like, because the Bills had that little TV set up in the end zone,
yeah,
for the fact that, you know, the games were, there were no fans. But when you're watching and they pan out and they show like the wide shot from behind the players, you can see like 5 or 10 people like run down the steps, like, mm-hmm, and just, yeah, run along the wall, yeah, like where people normally are. But those were all walled off and they were all covered up and everything like that. And it's just kind of funny seeing all those people being able to run down those stairs where they probably normally couldn't go, mm-hmm, and jump up on the wall. Like, just everything that went on that season was just bonkers. Like, the game in Arizona, I think, was that year too, where the game got moved to Arizona because of wildfires.
Against San Francisco.
Yeah. Like, just everything that went on that year was crazy, just to see, like, with no fans in the stands and everything like that.
But I've said it a lot too. I'm like, that's the best I felt going in the playoffs,
mm-hmm,
until this year. I loved that team. They were so sudden. It went from a team that was like, oh, they're really good. We don't really know about the quarterback yet. Like, he's fun. He's a weapon. You don't know about him totally as a quarterback. 2020 was the year Allen became,
yeah,
the Allen we've been living with since.
Was that the year after he started, like, really tweaking his throwing motion?
It was the continuation. He did it from 18 to 19, and then 19 to 20 was kind of like that final form to, yep, what we see now, where he's got a little bit of the Aaron Rodgers, he kind of jumps up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You saw it in the Curtis Samuel, where, like, he's almost like falling away and he sidearms it.
Same with the Ty Johnson,
yeah,
too.
He throws the ball a lot like Aaron Rodgers, and that was sort of the culmination to it. But also, like, I mean, I talk about the 2020 season a lot too, just because I'll never forget it because of COVID and being stuck inside and stuff like that. But it was also, you know, that first game, they got Stephon Diggs, they beat the Jets, Allen throws his first 300-yard game, and you're like, all right, like, let's go. It took 3 years, but we're there. Like,
yeah,
awesome.
Yeah.
And you already had iconic moments as well. You had the leap over Anthony Barr in his rookie year. You have the fumble picked up and run through against Dallas on Thanksgiving. The Dallas Thanksgiving game for a long time for me was my favorite Bills game,
yeah,
ever. Yep. And then 2020, like, the first 4 weeks against the Jets, against the Dolphins, against the Raiders, and against the Rams – it got to a certain point where, like, I'm like, he's never going to throw under 300 yards again. Like, this,
yeah, because there was a long streak where it looked like he was going to throw, like, very consistently like that. And it, yeah, it's obviously like gotten better since then, but just seeing that jump from 2019 to 2020 was so cool to see.
And that Taron Johnson play kind of was the culmination of the whole thing of like, the Bills are here, welcome to the party. I even mentioned it too, because I saw a Washington fan mention that, you know, they were 21 years old and their win over Tampa was their first playoff win.
Yeah.
And like, it was unbelievable. Like, no one can take them away from it. And I agree, because for me, the win against Indianapolis still sits with me because that was the first playoff win I'd seen. The drought is awesome. I love killing the drought, but I've openly mentioned it that like I didn't care about the Jacksonville game. I just cared that we didn't have to worry about
the
making
drought.
The playoffs, the drought.
Yeah.
We can now move forward into like being competitive and mm-hmm. stuff like that. It felt like a lot of like the toxicity with the program had washed away with that, even though the team was not all that talented yet. It was a rebuild roster that made it. They got there off a turnover differential and kind of just like in the moment plays kind of deal. It wasn't like a sustained. For goodness sake, Nate DePeterman started a game. Tyrod had a game where he threw for like 70 yards. Like,
yeah,
there
yeah.
was like pain in that, where 2020 was just awesome. It's the home playoff game. No, there wasn't a huge crowd, I think, really at all against the Colts, but they won it. I remember leaving work early and just kind of this feeling after they won it of like my sports life had changed.
Mm-hmm.
That now it was like I wasn't watching, you know, guys like Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Ben Roethlisberger, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers only, and being like, you know, oh man, I'm never going to know what that life is like.
Yeah, yeah.
Now it was like, I know what that life is like now. And you know, I don't want to say people forget, but there was like that feeling going into 22 of like, you know, McDermott's 0-2 in the playoffs. They had lost to Houston the year prior. You know, now this is the first home playoff game. It was also close against Phillip Rivers and the Colts.
Yeah, that was a sketchy game.
There was some nerves to that game.
That was like Jonathan Taylor like starting to show that he's Jonathan Taylor and all of that. And I just remember like just the intensity.
Mm-hmm.
The intensity in that game was just so high. But eventually they end up winning it.
Yeah.
Quick bit of trivia for you. You might know this, but what number was Taron Johnson wearing in that pick six?
He's 24.
Okay.
Way right. better.
I figured you'd know better. It, but I just wanted to see if I could stump you.
Every cornerback that wears a number in the 20s is awesome. That's why I say Christian Benford is purposely wearing 47 for mental games.
No, he knows.
I saw someone on Twitter say
that
months
ago. He knows it's a peak number. He knows it's the right number.
I saw someone, I can't remember who said it, like a few months ago I saw it and I was like, that's exactly what I've been thinking, is he wears 47 purely to get in wide receivers' heads. Like, no great cornerback's going to wear 47. Are you joking?
Now there is one.
Apparently there is one now. But, like, now
CB 47.
CBs wear, like, a number in, like, the single digits and, like, the 20s. And he's, like, 47, baby. He did that at Villanova. Like, it's completely on purpose. I wish I remember who said that, because it's not my original thought, but I just remember seeing it going, that's what I've been feeling. Josh tweets in about that Taron Johnson game too. I cry when a limited crowd forced a false start in the division game 4 years ago. That's Buffalo Go Bills.
Well, and that's
two false starts, I believe.
Yeah. It's going to be key. I mean, I mention this a lot. It is hard to win road playoff games. And when you do have a player like Lamar Jackson who has the stigma around him of not being all that great of a playoff performer, it is something you have to notice. Now, we could be in the second quarter and going, we ain't getting a bad playoff game from Lamar Jackson, guys. Better zip up our jackets and get ready. Like it's gonna be a long night.
That's the one thing I always remember too, is like Lamar Jackson said that game was hard to play in.
Mm-hmm.
There was only 6,000 Bills fans there. There's gonna be 70,000 this weekend. Like it's not even gonna be close to the same. I think that honestly, I know.
How many times has he played in Buffalo?
Just the one time, I think.
No, because they had a game in 19. 2019.
Yeah. That was the wind game. Trey White picked up their playbook on the sidelines because it kept getting blown all over. But I was at that game. That was actually my first Bills game ever, funny enough. That was my first Bills game. I'd never gotten to get to one earlier. But, yeah, I remember being at that game, how windy it was and how cold it was. It was like the beginning of December.
Yeah,
so.
It's 2019
yeah.
and then the 2020 divisional round.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. And 19, the Bills, I mean, let's be serious here. They were not what they are now.
No.
Even with that crowd. And to be fair, you're like a better run route from John Brown from tying that game up. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
And then 2020, there's no fans or a very limited amount of fans.
Mm-hmm.
So, that could be something that really plays into how this game goes. I'm excited. Nervous. Yeah. The nerves are starting to come in. Monday and Tuesday, I was just excited for the game. The nerves are starting to come in. 803-0550, the number to call. Let's go to Ken next. Ken, how are we doing today?
Hi, how are you?
Doing well.
I just wanted to comment on that Baltimore fan that called. I mean, he's got a right to say what he's got to say,
mm-hmm.
but now I'm going to say what I got to say. But when he was saying something about our offense is no good, Josh Allen's got a lot of weapons to go to. Plus, there's other stuff that they could do. If they want to put in, like, example, two running backs, they could do that and get their defense thinking, hey, what are they doing? You know, and all that. They got Shamir, they got Coleman, they got the guy they got from Cleveland.
Mark Cooper, yep.
Yeah, sorry, I couldn't think of it. And then who's the other guy that begins with an S?
Samuel? Mm-hmm.
And then wasn't there the guy they got from Philly that they used on occasion to get touchdowns to?
I mean, Mac Hollins played in Philly. Yeah, he played in Philly like his rookie year, but they signed him as a free agent.
He's been doing pretty good for us. He's got touchdowns.
Yeah, I mean, once he's gotten his role, he's been very good. Ken, thanks for the call. I think the thing with the Bills' weapons, I think this is where and why Joe Brady's getting a lot of credit. He's using the weapons they have in very deliberate roles. You saw in the beginning of the season, namely when they did play Baltimore and Houston, there kind of was this, no one really knew where to be. Mac Hollins is their number one. He's getting like 9 targets, and it's just like, oh, what are we doing here? It's not right. They're sending deep shots to him. But you're seeing now, like, Curtis Samuel is healthy, and for 2 weeks in a row, he's led the Bills in receiving yards, albeit one of them against the Patriots, where it was Mitchell Trubisky and Mike White starting at quarterback.
Right. Yeah.
But he did lead the Bills in receiving, and you saw a big play from him that you haven't seen all year. Shakir is a great yak weapon. I like Cooper just because he has had moments where you're like, there he is. Like, that's the guy you traded for. And then even when he doesn't, he's had a lot of moments, too, of just you're spreading the defense out. And then, of course, you have Allen. They don't have the named guys. They don't have a single 1,000-yard wide receiver. I'm still waiting for Dalton Kincaid to, like, truly become the Kincaid of the first round. We're still waiting on it. I don't totally know if Allen and him are on the same page or if they just don't totally know how to use him as, like, okay, he's going to be one of your leading receivers. Mm-hmm. I'll even say, like, the deep ball that he caught. It wasn't really a catch. I mean, if they challenged it, there's a good chance that's coming back. You know, I think they have good weapons. I won't be surprised, though, if like one of their picks in the second round, they draft another receiver. Because Cooper's,
I hope they do.
Yeah, because Cooper's 30. Mac Collins is a good receiver, and I like him a lot more personality and the grittiness that he brings, like a gunner on special teams out of nowhere. But
He's not a long-term solution by any means. I mean, and he could stay on the team. Like, if they re-sign him, he could stick around.
I'd love to re-sign him to a one-year deal.
But at the same time, like, he's not the long-term answer. Like, if you go out and get a young wide receiver in the draft.
Matthew Golden.
I was going to say his name, but I didn't know if you'd be upset at me.
Kidding. He's going to be gone by then. It's tough.
Take him in the first round.
He might already be gone by then.
Oh, geez. Okay. All right. Never mind. But regardless, like, I think that the way that these receivers are all working right now is great, and it's perfect.
That's awesome, yeah.
But I wonder if they can replicate it. And that's not a conversation for today, obviously, because that's more of an off-season thing. But at the same time, you do kind of think about, like, how well everything has gone for this offense and how it can keep going. Because I think it can keep going in this season, but it's just you kind of wonder about, like, what the long-term effects are of it.
I think I think the Bills kind of told you the long-term effects. They had to make a trade for Amari Cooper. Like they know even as much as the everyone eats has worked now, they also had to fix it. They had to tweak it a little bit, which is what good teams do. I mean,
and
Chiefs have started out slow on offense. They've kind of figured it out. They went and got Hopkins. Baltimore kind of had like their ups and downs in the beginning of the season. They figured it out on defense, and now they're moving forward. Like, good teams do that. Mm-hmm. But that's where I would be surprised if, like, the fourth round came around in this year's draft and the Bills hadn't had a receiver, unless, like, they did something in free agency. And even then, you look at the guy that they spent money on this offseason, Curtis Samuel.
Hasn't worked out so far.
Yeah, you can blame injuries, but ultimately, it hasn't worked out to the degree that you wanted it to work out to. Now, look, if he's all of a sudden like performing in the playoffs, I don't care. The regular season be damned, I don't care.
Right, yeah.
But you do want that sustainability where you don't have to keep retooling a unit every single year. And that's where, you know, they've added Keon Coleman. I'd love them to add another outside guy. I'm not saying it has to be in the first round. I actually would much prefer them add an edge rusher or a defensive tackle, especially with how the NFL has shifted again to sort of the running game, and you have to be able to stop that Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley, what have you. And, you know, Baltimore's not going away.
Right.
You might want to gear up to stop both them and Kansas City. Where they've kind of set up to just stop Kansas City.
I think the overarching point, though, to bring it back to just this game this week is – The fact that Amari Cooper is here in this offense now and he wasn't here in week four, I think will make a big difference.
I think so too.
Even if he doesn't really do anything. It, like we've talked about before, is if he can just be that guy that's basically like a distraction, you're going to open up Keon Coleman. You're going to open up Shakir. You brought up the fact that their cornerbacks, Baltimore's cornerbacks, are undersized. Mm-hmm. If that's the case, Coleman and even Cooper can have good moments against that. And Dalton Kincaid and Dawson Knox as well. So I really do think that you can pick apart the matchups. Like, obviously, like, as a whole, offense versus defense, it's a bit of a it's kind of right in the middle. But when you look at the specific spots in the defense and the offense, like, the wide receivers match up very well against their cornerbacks.
Yeah.
But maybe not so much against, you know, offensive defensive line. Mm-hmm. Like, that's another conversation. So I think there's a lot of layers to that and a lot of layers to this matchup. But that's what you get when you have two incredible teams that are going to play probably the best game of the last two seasons.
Yeah. Let's go next to Adam here. Adam, how are we doing today?
Yeah, not too bad, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Just real quick on the golf simulators, just a word of advice. Make sure you do a few warm-up swings before you get in there and start cranking away. I made that mistake the other day, and I was paying for it.
That's exactly what my fear is. I'm going to go in there and be like, I can drive this 250 even though I've never done that before, and just I pull every muscle in my back.
Yeah, give yourself some warm-up swings. Mm-hmm. I didn't, and I wish I would have. I think one thing for me when it comes to this game, I think nobody's really talking about it, and I think it's because we haven't really seen it all year, are the designed Allen runs. We saw that a little bit more in the Denver game. They basically run him out of shotgun. It's like a quarterback sweep with like a pulling guard or tackle. I mean, it's good for like 6 to 8 yards every single play. And I think they've been saving it for this exact reason. You know, you haven't really seen it much throughout the year. We've almost kind of like gotten a little annoyed with it as to how much has kind of gone away from the offense. And I saw it a few times in the Denver game and I'm like, okay, here it is. And they're going to use this. I mean, look, at the end of the day, Baltimore is going to get their yards. It's going to come down to red zone defense and us keeping them out of the end zone and making them kick field goals while we score touchdowns. That's the only way this is going to work, and that's the only way we're going to win. And I think everybody keeps on waiting for, you know, okay, like Amari Cooper is going to pop off, or, you know, Dalton Kincaid is going to pop off. I think Josh Allen running the football is going to be what's going to pop off in this game. And it wouldn't surprise me if at the end of the day you look at the box score and you see 12 to 15 Allen runs for 80 to 100 yards on top of another 200, 250 passing, and that's the difference in the game. So I think nobody's really talking about that. We know how Allen likes the physical contact. Our offensive line is out of their minds right now. So I really think that, to me, is the missing component that nobody's really giving any credit to going into this game. And I'm excited for Sunday, guys. So thanks for taking my call, and I'll hang up and listen.
Adam, man, thanks for the call. Yeah, and that was a big thing 2 years ago, kind of the discussions of when are they going to kind of chill on letting Allen kind of run and stuff like that. And they did sort of get away from it where, yes, he would still scramble and such, but as you brought up, it's more the design run. It's more taking it out of shotgun. And I like to always kind of compare it to that Cam Newton year in Auburn college stuff where he would be in shotgun, he would take it, and it was literally just essentially a QB sneak out of shotgun. You find the hole and you go. You're just bigger than everybody. Allen had eight rushes against Denver for 46 yards. I think you're right, though. It could get up there to maybe double digits, especially if like they do sort of what they did against Denver, where it felt like, to me at least, deliberately setting up third downs or deliberately setting up third and shorts, where they got to a point where it's third and two. I mean, good for you if you stop us on third down. You're not stopping us on fourth down. Their biggest problem early in the game was they weren't nailing the red zone, whether it be penalties to bring them back, a miss to Knox, a missed penalty on Kincaid, what have you. And to Adam's point, I think he's right. I just get nervous with Henry and Jackson also sort of being those ultimate weapons in the red zone. That's tough. That is a tough battle to get into. That's where you're hoping, because I field goals, sure, I think it's going to come down to these teams. If it's fourth and one on like the 15, they're both going for it every time. And you've got to hope that you get a fourth down stop against Josh Allen and or Derrick Henry on either side. And that's why I keep thinking it's going to be an all-time game. because it's going to be two teams that know who they're playing and go, I can't give you back the ball. You have to take it from me.
And that's why it's also like, it's going to be a high scoring game, I think, because while both defenses are great, the offenses are just that much better. And I think that there's going to be moments from each team's defense where it's going to be like, yeah, that's a big turning point. But then the offense is going to come right back out and do it again and change the tide right back to wherever it was headed. So it's like, I really do think like the defenses are going to have to, if whichever team, like whoever wins, they're going to have one key play that changes everything. Because offense is just going to keep firing all night long, I think. I don't think there's ever a chance, unless playoff Lamar starts to show up, or unless Allen, you know, gets that sugar high Josh thing that everyone was talking about last year. Like, that is the only way you start to break things down. But if both offenses are firing on all cylinders, it's going to take one mistake from the defense or one mistake from the offense, I should say.
And that's where it is something where, you know, Baltimore being the second highest team in penalties this year.
Yeah. Right.
That all of a sudden it's like it's just one bad false start on a silent count on the road that takes it from it was fourth and one to it's fourth and, you know, five.
Yep. Or, and are you gonna risk it?
Or it's third and five and it's third and ten and it's now tough. And that is to me where it maybe comes into play.
Yeah.
Where the Bills will have the home crowd to their advantage. The Ravens won't be. Yep. And that's where if you can start off fast and not go on these slow starts, you can keep up with them. You can maybe take Derrick Henry to a certain extent, to as most as you can, out of the game. Where for right now, you can't necessarily do that, and it's a little worrying. Kind of where I'm at. To start this week, I couldn't wait. I was just excited. I'm like, two great teams going after it. The closer we get, the more I'm like, oh hell. Like, Sunday's going to be hard. Sunday's going to be a rough ride. And not even the first playoff game on Sunday. Like, I'm going to have to wait till like 5 o'clock to come into work. I'm going to have to wait the whole day.
Right.
What am I supposed to do?
Watch the other game.
Ooh, great. It's awesome. I'm going to watch another team.
Eagles win. Rams?
It would be Eagles Rams, yes.
Yeah.
They start at 3 o'clock. That game's also supposed to be super cold.
Really?
Which, like, yeah, I'm gonna watch an LA team with Stafford go out in the cold. Blow out. Probably. I assume.
I don't know. I like Stafford.
I like Stafford a lot. I'm just, you know, outside in Philadelphia. I don't love that for you guys.
Right.
Speaking of the playoff games, though, because you got to run after this segment. We're going to have Sal Capaccio up next. Let's run through these games. We've got four divisional round games coming up. It starts Saturday, 4:30, Texans at Chiefs. Right now, Kansas City's heading at around 8.5, 9-point favorite. Does not look great.
This is a spread. Like, we talked a lot about the Bills-Broncos spread last week and if it was inflated or not. This feels like an inflated spread.
It does a little bit.
I don't think that it's going to be that bad. I do wonder if C.J. Stroud can kind of show up, because he did not really do that last week. But I'm going to unfortunately have to pick the Chiefs here.
I am also going with the Chiefs. I think a good run for the Texans, but I said it if it was like Texans and Pittsburgh. It was like when that was potentially a matchup, it ultimately became Texans Chargers. But it was like, you'll win this game. You'll technically call it a successful season, only to be run over by Kansas City. Next up, the second Saturday game, 8 o'clock, Washington at the Lions. Washington having a dream season. First playoff win since 05. They seem to have found their franchise quarterback, Daniels. If he continues on this trajectory, maybe the best quarterback in the NFC by the end of next year.
Mm-hmm.
But they do seem to be punching above their weight class. They go for it a lot on fourth. And it also took a doinked-in field goal to beat Tampa Bay, who's also kind of playing above its weight class. And with that, I'll take the Lions, also sitting around a 9.5, 10-point favorite.
I really want to pick Washington.
It's just so fun.
They are such a fun team where you just like you really want to root for them. But I think it's going to come to an end. I think Detroit's too good, even though they have all their backups still. I think they're such a well-run team that they're just going to – it's going to be just, hey, let's just go out there and do our jobs once again.
Yep.
So –
next up, Sunday, 3 o'clock start time. Another big spread here. Rams at the Eagles, 6.5 to 7-point favorite for the Eagles. Can understand that one. I think they match up just really well with the Vikings. They beat them twice this year. I don't think they match up all that particularly well against the Eagles. The idea of Stafford not very mobile going against that Eagles defense. Hurts may not even have a good game. AJ Brown might have another one-catch game.
Right.
And it still feels like...
Well, they have Saquon.
Yeah, but it feels like the Eagles kind of just like put you in a chokehold and wait for you to go to sleep.
Yep.
It may not be pretty. It may not be the coolest thing in the world. But to me, they're the most talented team in football. Roster-wise, they're the most talented team in football.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go the Eagles.
I do think if Jared Verse has another great game, which, to be fair, against the Vikings, it's not that hard to have a great game.
Also, I can't imagine you're gonna do 9 sacks again.
Right, right. But I think of him more in the fact of stopping that run of Saquon Barkley. Mm-hmm. So I do wonder if he'll be as big of a factor as he was last week. This is another one where I'm like, I really like the Rams. I really want to pick the Rams, but I just think that the Eagles are, like you said, they're just going to kind of subdue you enough and then just put the game away. Yeah. So I'm going to go Eagles.
Then the next up, Sunday Night Football, Ravens at the Bills. Baltimore has now become the favorite, at least for right now. We'll see if that line changes. They're about a 1-point favorite on the road. Unfortunately for me, we've talked a lot about it. I've said how nervous I am. I am going to go Baltimore. I think I'm going to go Baltimore.
Interesting. I will not be saying my pick as per usual, mm-hmm. but if you could see what hat I was wearing right now, you'd know who I pick. And it's a team that has a blue
color.
It's not
Baltimore. It's not Baltimore.
I don't own a Ravens hat, so there you go.
All right, we're going to let you get out of here. 803-0550, the number to call. Coming up after a quick timeout, though, for more on Bills and Ravens. Bills did return to practice yesterday. We'll hear from Sal Capaccio. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Home advantage in the playoffs is massive. That's where everybody wants that one seed along with the bye. But, you know, playing here in our stadium, I think it's one of the hardest environments to play in, especially the playoffs. I think it's about to be 8 degrees or something like that. Hopefully 40-mile-an-hour winds and 3 feet of snow is kind of what I want. But, you know, Bills Mafia will show out. There's no doubt about that. But, yeah, look forward to Sunday.
Buffalo Bills right tackle Spencer Brown, one of the best tackles in the NFL. Him, Deion Dawkins, Connor McGovern, Osiris Torrence, David Edwards, leading one of the best offensive lines in the NFL. Let's get more in on the Bills and Ravens matchup. The Bills got back to practice yesterday, albeit in a walkthrough, as we go to the West Hur Hotline. Sal Capaccio joins the show. Sal, how are we doing this morning?
Good, man. Good. It's snowing out. I didn't think it was going to be this much snow where I am.
I'm not for it, Sal. I'm okay. I'm ready to deal with the 8-degree weathers on Sunday. I'm done with the snow. I'm done. I'm talking about golf and going to simulators and stuff like that. And I'm like, it's going to be in the teens and it's snowing. What am I doing here? I don't know. We're going to get there. We're fighting through it.
Well, you know what? The footballs just keep me going each week, and doesn't matter what the weather is, and charge ahead, and honestly hoping for a few more weeks here.
I am too, Sal, and I've brought this up a lot with these Bills teams, and I mentioned when these playoffs were getting going, like, this is the best I've felt about the Bills going into the playoffs since 20, And I can honestly say this is the first season since then where I'm also not sitting here going, it feels like the season kind of needs to end. Like, these guys just maybe ran out of gas. They're out of players. Like, if they make it unbelievable, wonderful, like, you know, stuff a legend kind of deal. But it always kind of felt like they maybe ran their course. This year doesn't feel like that, but it does feel like they've got a bad matchup with Baltimore.
Sure. And listen, I mean, every team that gets to this point is good, right? I mean, even last week I said you don't make the playoffs if you're not a good team, the Denver Broncos, but you know, the Bills did a really nice job against them, but they earned their way and they're a good team in their own right for many reasons. And we know this team is obviously really good and it's a tough matchup. And I think most Bills fans would have told you as the season went on and heading into the playoffs, this is the toughest actual matchup for the team when you think about the way each team is built, schematics, X's and O's, and here we are. So they have an absolutely, you know, big time challenge. I think it's good for the Bills that it's at home. It's good for the Bills that it will be in very cold weather. We don't exactly know how the Ravens, you know, will react to that. Might not be anything. That might just be a machine, right? But it could also impact them. So yeah, for sure. This is a really tough matchup, but I think one in which the Bills, you know, they're a good team too. The Bills are very good. They won 13 games this year and they're here for a reason as well.
Getting to the injury report yesterday, again, a walkthrough practice, but it does give you kind of a sign of what's to come. Good news, though, I think, really, for Ray Davis. He's still in concussion protocol, but for him being limited, it does point to he's working his way through those steps and does have, obviously, a chance then to play Sunday. I was starting to, you know, kind of, you know, just for me personally, as the week began, kind of under the assumption he wouldn't play, you know, all of a sudden talking, you know, is Frank Gore Jr. going to get pulled up? But now it's maybe not looking that way. It's not official, not by any means. He's still in concussion protocol, but a good sign for him.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, as it's trending right now, generally, if you go back and look at guys that are, you know, starting to practice this early, excuse me, in the week in some capacity, I would say it's usually a good sign for them. And I don't exactly have the data on it, but I just know by doing this generally, if you are practicing in a limited capacity by Wednesday, that really, you know, ups your chances to be available by Sunday. So we'll see where it goes today. The other thing about this is, I'll just say this now so people understand, as the week goes on, we may not hear he's cleared today. We may not hear he's cleared tomorrow when Sean McDermott comes on the program. He could literally be cleared, you know, Saturday or even Sunday morning. They don't have to declare him out. He could still be questionable to play. As long as, you know, you have time to do that. There's no declaration that needs to be made before then. So my thing would be, if you don't see Frank Gore Jr. elevated by Friday at 4 p.m., then I think that's a really good sign for Ray Davis. And as of right now, obviously, like I said, good sign that he was limited yesterday in the walkthrough. We will be down at practice here. I will be down at practice here in about 40 minutes or so. The 45 minutes, the Bills will have practice at 12:30, whatever, a little less than an hour, 12:30 today. And, you know, we'll see that. And also, Alec Anderson is the other one who is limited. He was yesterday. Sean McDermott called him day-to-day on Monday. That's a good sign. He was limited yesterday. Doesn't seem like there's any concern there with the calf injury. We'll see. And then Brandon Codrington was a full participant yesterday, and he actually told me after practice he thought he was good to play last week by Thursday.
Oh, nice. Well, that's good.
That's in him. I think the player wants to play all the time.
Of course,
right?
Of course.
They got to go through the process, but he said he felt good by Thursday.
And again, it continues kind of the theme of this season where the Bills have been playing, I think, not a safer game by any means, but definitely slow playing all of these injuries, what have you, to make sure they're the healthiest they can be by this time this year. I mean, I've seen a lot of like Bills fan pages on Twitter and stuff like that going, you know, this time last year, the wild card round, let's look at the injury report. And it's like four did not practices and stuff like that. This week, the same thing. This week, it's like, he has a lot of names, but they're all full participants. The only guys that were limited, Alec Anderson and Ray Davis, that, and everyone else has been a full participant. So it's been a really good year for the Bills, I think, in terms of injuries. And then it's how we've talked about it as well. Guys like Matt Milano coming back and seemed to have his best game last week against Denver.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, we've heard Sean McDermott talk about Matt since he came back, you know, back in December, and how, you know, it takes a little time. And they want to get him ramped up. They want to continue to let him get his feet under him. And there was a question there, right? We all had the question. We talked about it here. Was he up to speed enough physically to be able to bridge that gap and say he's the guy over Dorian Williams? And a lot of Bills fans maybe still feel, but they shouldn't, I don't think, anymore. But at least up until last week felt maybe Dorian Williams was still the guy that should be there. I think after everything that I saw last week against the Broncos, those questions should be answered and not even asked anymore, to be quite honest with you. I think Matt Milano showed last week that he's back to maybe not all-pro Matt Milano from a couple of years ago, but the better option at will linebacker right now, and certainly a really good option for the Bills, the way he's playing, the way he's diagnosing and making some plays on the football. And that's seeming like it's starting to happen a little bit more each and every week. Last week, he played that spy role against Bo Nix quite often. We'll see if the Bills employ him there. We'll see how they play their linebackers. Maybe Dorian Williams has a role as a third linebacker. There's a lot to be decided here, but no doubt about it. Speaking of injuries, yes, Matt Milano, from where he was last year in October when he broke his leg in London to where he is now is pretty remarkable.
All right, Sal, a few other things I want to get to here today. It's my last day running this. You're going to be on tomorrow. I finally have looked at the spreads for some of these divisional games, Sal. Me and Josh just went through and picked these games. Outside of Bills Ravens, it's some hefty spreads. You got, and this is all FanDuel Sportsbook, Houston, 8.5 point underdog. Washington, 9.5 point underdog. Rams, 6.5 point underdog. And then, funny enough for the Bills, the only home team to be an underdog, 1.5 point. That's the only close game, though. You know, the wild card round outside of one game was a lot of blowouts, not really any close games, and, mm-hmm. and at times some really ugly football, especially Houston and the Chargers. I don't know. I'm now worried that we're all going to be just waiting for the one good game. It happens to be ours on Sunday night, and not really able to enjoy good football. Because I like Washington, yeah, but I can understand the 9.5 point dog.
Yeah, I understand, but you know, and I always say, like, Vegas, obviously they don't build these unbelievable casinos for nothing, right? I mean, they're usually pretty good about this stuff, but generally you get a couple of good games in there. So let's look at last year, what happened in the divisional round. The 49ers and Packers had a really excellent game. That was a Saturday night game last year, 24-21. If you remember, the 49ers wound up winning that game. Lions and Buccaneers was a one-score game.
Oh, yeah.
Lions won 31-23. And, of course, the Chiefs beat the Bills on Sunday evening, 27-24. And we know that was a good game as well. It was back and forth. But, you know, I think you do get these divisional games that can be blowouts at times. Generally, you'll get more of those in the wild card. You know, the NFL showcases this as the best weekend of their season. And generally, you get what would be considered the top eight teams remaining in the entire league. Sometimes, obviously, a team can upset and be there. So we'll see. I do think that I'm very curious, let's just say that, how the Chiefs will play after so much time off. I mean, they haven't played in quite a while, guys. The last time the Chiefs played their starters was Christmas, right? Is that right?
I think that's right. It's something like 21, 22 days since Mahomes and the starters have all played. And me and Josh were talking about it, too, to start the show. Like, you're now comfortably in that whole rust versus rest argument.
Yeah.
And, as ugly as a game as it was, Houston's defense has some dudes on it.
Yeah, they do. And the only thing that is kind of really tilts it for I think, Kansas City here is Houston's offensive line is not good.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They just have not been very good. And now because you have Chris Jones over there and Karlaftis, and I just think that that's a tough matchup. But, hey, C.J. Stroud is capable of a little magic here once in a while, right? And if the defense does what can play, even, you know, facsimile of what they did last week against the Chargers. I just use the word facsimile, and as Mike Shope would say, has the show ever sounded older? Right? But anyway, if you could, anything like that, like, I'm not here to tell you I think the Texans are beating the Chiefs. I am here to tell you I think there's a path for the Texans to give the Chiefs a game.
I haven't thought too much about Houston upsetting Kansas City. I think we all kind of assume Kansas City is just sort of this inevitable entity you got to get through in the championship game. It's been joked that the AFC playoffs are actually just the Arrowhead Invitational, and it has been for the last few years.
Yeah.
I wonder, though, how amped up a Highmark Stadium crowd could be if the day before you knew if you win,
oh my God,
you're hosting the AFC Championship game. You get Ryan Fitzpatrick out there, the legend of the game. I already think it being a road game is the biggest bonus for the Bills, getting them in a silent count. They're the second most penalized team in football. I think it'd be huge. I think that could send that place into just a frenzy.
I agree with you. If you guys remember, that was the case back in the 13 seconds game.
That's right.
Because Cincinnati had beaten Tennessee, I believe it was, right? Mm-hmm. In the playoffs. And they were the 4 seed. I'm looking at it right now. Kansas City and Buffalo were the 2 and 3 that year. And whoever won that game was hosting the Bengals, because the Titans were the 1 seed and they were bounced.
Man, the Titans were the 1 seed. Mike Vrabel.
Yep.
Hell of a coach.
Yeah, there you go.
Speaking of coaching searches, we mentioned Vegas. To me, it's stunning. Me and Nate Geary yesterday talked a lot about it in the break. The Ben Johnson to Vegas things, like where he's now like the favorite to wind up there. Guy, Sal, for a guy that has kind of been, you know, I don't even say this negatively, but he has been very picky on where he wants to go to be a head coach. The Raiders seem like the worst option. Like, this has to be Brady, you know, giving him the world, right?
Well, I think there's a couple things at play, right? I mean, I think Brady has to be part of it, no doubt. You're associating yourself with Tom Brady. I'm sure in football circles, someone like Ben Johnson, a lot of different people, Tom Brady's going to be influential with you, right? I mean, no doubt. Mm-hmm. Hey, Tom Brady, look what I have. Throw the rings on the table. Do the Pat Riley thing, right, with LeBron.
Yeah.
Throw the rings on the table. Look what I got, and we're going to build this right here. And look, it's Vegas too, right? I mean, who knows? Maybe some people say, I would never live out there. Maybe some people really want to live, you know, in Vegas. It's a really booming city with a lot going on, obviously. So I think that could be a draw for a lot of people. It is interesting to me, though. It is a tough division, obviously. Look what the Broncos are doing now. Look what the Chargers are doing now. And of course, you have the Kansas City Chiefs. And, you know, he looks, they don't have a quarterback. It's also, here's the biggest thing I would tell you, though. The reason why I think that Ben Johnson would be the most attracted to that job, maybe Brady's number one, but here might be number one. They have no GM. You hire him first. Oh. He probably has a say in who that is.
He's bringing in his guy where, like, Jacksonville, right. That's been a big thing, keeping bulky. It kind of has burned a lot of bridges for these top guys. Chicago, the same thing. They still have Ryan Poles and Kevin Warren, who's sort of the president of football operations or whatever his role is. There's a lot of guys you're answering to. It's probably right. It might be something where, like, Mark Davis is like, I'm going to get out of the way. You do what you want to do, and there's something to being a football czar. We know Bill Belichick, that was a big thing that he wanted, and North Carolina was willing to give that to him.
Yeah, I know, no doubt about it. So, yeah, we'll see. I'm seeing a lot of stuff about Aaron Glenn, where he would fit. There's a big thing between Saints and Jets and where he would fit best and what he prefers. So there's a lot to be decided. I'm glad the Bills aren't in that particular position as they've been for many years.
Oh, what's that? You don't miss, like, coaching searches and QB searches?
I mean, it keeps you going at the end of the season. Right? At least it's something to do, like, in this job. But I prefer the spot they're in now, to be quite honest with you.
I'm not looking forward to that adventure in the years way down the road. Sal, thanks, man, for jumping on with us. Enjoy practice, and we'll talk again soon.
All right, guys, thanks.
That was Sal Capaccio there on the Wester Hotline. I want to know what the meaning is between Tom Brady and Ben Johnson to get him to want that. You hear the AFC West. It's a bad QB class this year. You don't even have the number one overall pick. Some guys also just want that challenge, and the Raiders might offer up one of the biggest challenges in the sport. They have not been good most of my life. I know for many people, they were kind of like the pinnacle of like the bad guys, and they were good, and they were fun, the rivalries with the Steelers. Even in the early 2000s, when they had like one of the oldest rosters in football with Brown and Jerry Rice, and then Rich Gannon's winning MVPs at like 35 years old after being like a journeyman quarterback most of his career. They haven't been good since. I'd even say they haven't been good since their Super Bowl loss in 2002, even though they made the playoffs twice with Derek Carr. We're going to take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll wrap up today's show. You're listening to WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Quick final segment here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It is, of course, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Real quick here, let's try to get one more phone call in. Let's go to Joe here on the line. Joe, how are we doing this morning?
Good. How are you this morning?
Doing well.
So I was thinking, you know, I've seen the Ravens play many years, and one of the players that seems to stand out when times get difficult or they're in need of a big play or basically the offense is stalled and they go to him. Lamar will look for Mark Andrews. It's like one of his main go-to. Mm-hmm. He gets the ball more than I would even say their prime receivers, Bateman, Flowers, Agabar. To me, the X factor, one of the things I definitely feel that Bills need to be totally wary of is covering Andrews. He's able to get open. He's big. He makes big touchdowns in the red zone. So my X factor with the Ravens is Mark Andrews, the tight end. And then the X factor with the Bills for me is going to be the crowd. This crowd needs to be as loud as it can be. Last week I was at the Broncos game. I've been a season ticket holder for years. The crowd was just outstanding. But this needs, this week needs to even be double with the colder weather. It was 32 Sunday. It was nice. It was actually feeling like tropical
right
there.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so the X factor on both ends, my question, comment. Thanks.
Joe, thanks for the call. And yeah, Andrews has absolutely been kind of a safety blanket for Lamar for years. And he turned it on after a really tough start to the season. 10 touchdown receptions this year. He's also second in catches on the team. Zay Flowers leads the way at 74. Andrews at 55. Didn't do much against Pittsburgh. Wasn't asked to do much against Pittsburgh. He had 3 targets, 2 catches, 27 yards. And he's going to be a red zone target for them as well. And that's going to be a key battle, is in the red zone. We had a caller earlier bring it up that that's really where this game is going to be made, is making them either kick field goals or, as I think it's going to be, more turn the ball over on downs, going forward on fourth down and not getting it. Andrews is going to be a big factor. You know how good Henry is. Andrews maybe kind of can surprise you because of how bad the start of his year was. And then the crowd, I said the same thing to Sal, especially if Houston were to upset Kansas City, that crowd could be on a completely different level, going in silent counts, stuff like that. They are the second most penalized team in football. Could be huge. It's going to do it for me today. Coming up next, the Sabres got a win yesterday over Carolina, and the boys on Sabres Live are going to break that down. That's coming up after a quick timeout. This is WGR.